In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Probably all of us have heard the explanation of the difference between the raisings from the dead that Jesus does of Lazarus after days in the tomb, and in this case that we heard of this morning, the daughter of Jairus, the 12-year-old little girl who had died. He says, she's not dead, she's sleeping, and he raises her from the dead. On the one hand, there is that kind of miracle that Jesus does. But on the other hand, there is something completely different from that, and that is the resurrection. We shouldn't confuse the two. All of those that Jesus raised who had died, Lazarus and the daughter of Jairus, went on and lived out the rest of their lives and died, just like everyone. Jesus performed these miracles, like the raising of Lazarus and the raising of the daughter of Jairus from the dead, as a witness to the fact that he has authority over death. But he comes into the world not just to raise those who have died, but to change the way the world is, to destroy the power of death over us. When he arises from the dead on the third day after the crucifixion, he has destroyed the power of death over us. We believe in his resurrection from the dead. We believe, as we say in the creed, we believe in the resurrection of the dead when Jesus returns. And that will be something quite different from the healings that he did when he raised Lazarus or the daughter of Jairus. That resurrection that comes with the return of Jesus Christ is our participation, our sharing in his resurrection. His resurrection that is not just rising from the dead or God raising him from the dead as Jesus himself raised from the dead as miracles during his earthly ministry. That is something different. God created human beings, body and soul, together. At the Council of Florence, Mark of Ephesus, the representative from the Orthodox East, spoke to the collected representatives, similar to the All-American Council that we had, but in this case it was a meeting of the Western Latin Church under the Bishop of Rome and all of the Eastern churches coming together and trying to find a way to get back together again. Mark of Ephesus explained that we can't call simply the body of a human being a human being. The body of a human being is not fit to be called a human being. It's not the true human being. The soul of a human being alone is not fit to be called a true human being. Only the body and soul together is a true human being. That is how God created us. Christians don't preach or believe in the immortality of the soul, or that the human being is essentially his or her own soul, temporarily inhabiting a body, which when we die, naturally, you know, you hear that a lot these days, death is part of life. Death is natural. At the end of our lives, the body dies. And it's tragic, and we miss the person, but we go to the funeral and we say, well, this is not Charlie or Joe or Shirley, whoever it is. This is just their temporary habitation, the body that they lived in, and it will return to the dust. But the real person that we love, that person has an eternal soul, and that eternal soul will arise and go to heaven. This is not the Christian faith. This is some pagan faith. Americans often affirm it because it gives them a way of denying the reality of death. They identify with something immaterial, non-physical in themselves that has an eternal life. And a lot of people think that that's Christianity, but it isn't. In the creed, we say that we believe in the resurrection of the body. We don't say that we believe in the eternal life of the soul, because we don't believe in the eternal life of the soul. The soul has eternal life by the grace of God because we share His divine life. God created us, body and soul together, united to Him. And it was because we turned away from Him that death came into the world and body and soul separated. And the body returned to the dust that God had raised it from when He breathed life into the body. That's what we believe. So there's a difference between just raising the body of someone who has died before their time. Jesus does those miracles. It shows that He has power over life and death. But He comes into the world to destroy the power of death. The resurrection of the whole human being as we were created, that was His purpose. Why else was it necessary for Him to die on the cross? He has eternal life. He is God. Nothing can destroy Him. He takes on our humanity in order to save us, body and soul together, united to God's divine life. When He arises from the dead, our humanity arises with Him. The body that He has taken by being born as a human being in this world arises from the dead. Our humanity is united to God. The power of death is destroyed. And our faith in Him is that being at one with Him, when He returns, we will arise body and soul together. And that's why we have, as Christians, such a respect for the body. The body is meant to share in the eternal destiny of each human being. The body has an eternal destiny. It is not meant to simply pass away into the earth and remain. That's why we preach the resurrection of the body. And this brings us to something that is probably a little more difficult for us to explain to visitors when they come to an Orthodox church than even the fact that we venerate icons. Why do you venerate icons? It looks like the worship of images to people. And from a point of view where this world is everything of life, and heaven is way up there someplace far away, and hell is way down there someplace far away, but we live in this world separated from God, separated from those who have died and lived at one with God by living in the bosom of Christ. We pray to God, but we ought not, they would think, pray to the saints. Our understanding is that our life is a life that is shared at one with God through Christ and at one with all of those who are united to Him. All of those who have died and arisen through baptism to an eternal life that will include the eternal life of their bodies. At the end of time, with the resurrection of the body, as we say in the Creed, body and soul will be reunited. The body will not be exactly as we experience bodies now. We know that the resurrected body of Christ was not identical to the way His body was before. It was an eternal body. Body and soul reunited, ascended to sit at the right hand of God the Father. And because of this inseparable part of our humanity, the body, we respect the body. When someone dies, we don't simply discard the body and say that it's nothing and talk about the eternal soul of the person. Orthodox don't like to cremate the bodies of people who die because of what we're saying by doing that about the body, treating it as though it is something of no importance. We treat it as though it is something of great importance. But we ought not to be confused. When someone dies and we have a funeral in the Orthodox Church, and that person has been a regular, faithful communicant at the sacraments, has regularly received communion, received the body of Christ, and made the effort to live a life at one with God, we bring the body of that person into the church. We put it right here in the center. Feet at this end toward the altar, and the head of the person at the other end, so that they are facing toward the altar. When we bury them in a cemetery, we bury them so that they are facing the east. The understanding is that Jesus Christ will return in the east, and so there is a preparation for the resurrection that goes into the preparation of a body for burial, and their burial in the cemetery. But it's not as if we believe that at the end of time the body will be simply reanimated. We're not preserving the body so that it can be reanimated, given life so that the body comes alive like some horror movie. That's not what we believe. Sometimes people say, well, God could bring us together, no matter if we are cremated, no matter what happens to us. I mean, after all, people burn in tragedies and their bodies are destroyed. Yes, that's all that's true. That's not why we show respect for the body. It's not as if we believe that the resurrection is going to be the same as it was when Jesus raised Jairus' daughter from the dead, when he raised Lazarus from the dead, even though he had been dead for several days. That's not how we understand the resurrection. If it were how we understood the resurrection, maybe we wouldn't venerate relics of saints, which we do. We venerate the relics of saints because we know that the physical body participates in eternal life. And the saint is someone who in their life has shown that they are someone who lives a life at one with God. Someone who is going through the deification that we all want to be able to go through. Becoming more and more like God. A saint is someone that everyone has seen loves God more than themselves. A saint is someone that everyone has seen Christ through. We live as human beings in the world in order to reveal the presence of God. And saints reveal the presence of God. And so, just like we venerate icons and say we are worshiping God, by venerating the icon of the saint, we venerate those who reveal the presence of God while they're living and also even after they have died. And because of our respect for the body and the fact that we know that the body participates in divinization, the body participates in the eternal life, and at the end of time there will be the resurrection of the body, and because we know that even in the Old Testament, there were miracles associated with the bodies of prophets who had died, holy men. And there have been miracles associated with the bodies of saints. There is something holy that remains along with the physical remains of a saint. This is someone whose physical body participated in divinization during their lives and now only awaits the coming of Christ for the resurrection of the body. And that's why when someone like St. Clement of Alaska is recognized as a saint, people went in 1970 to Spruce Island in Alaska, where St. Clement had lived and been a holy monk, and they took his physical remains, the bones of his body, and they put them in what we call a reliquary, a place where we keep the physical remains of someone we know is a saint, and they took them to the church on Kodiak Island, where Seminary St. Clement of Hermans is, and they put them in the church, and you can go there and you can venerate the reliquary that holds the earthly remains of the saint Irvin of Alaska. And over the reliquary, there hangs a lampada, a vigil lamp. And when the saint is commemorated, the Troparion of St. Herman of Alaska is sung, and the priest will come and take some of the oil as people pass by, and while we sing the Troparia, the priest will bless the forehead of each person with oil from the lampada, the vigil lamp, that hangs over the earthly remains of St. Herman. And it's as though we are receiving the blessing from St. Herman. We have a oneness with the saints because we are baptized into the life of Christ, the life that we are called to live physically and spiritually, using our bodies to participate in a divine and holy life, are meant to become more and more holy during our lives, just as the bodies of the saints became more and more holy during the course of their lives. That's why we are told not to do things that are contrary to the holiness of the body, not to defile the holy bodies that God has given us to use in order to make ourselves holy. It's not because there's simply some kind of prohibition against doing certain things that are not good for us spiritually. We have to get over the temptation to spiritualize our lives and treat our bodies as though they were secondary. Our bodies are part of our spiritual life. Otherwise, why would it have been necessary for God to come and die on the cross, for Jesus to die on the cross, in order to make our physical bodies, our physical humanity, holy? If God had remained only a spirit, non-bodily, he could have come and appeared to us. We could have seen him as an appearance, the way the angels appeared to the prophets, and he could have taught us and all the rest of that. We could have the Gospels and the teachings. But it was necessary for God, for our sake, to do something with our bodies. And so he became one of us, physically. He took our humanity on himself. And those who don't want to be united to God put him on the cross and tried to take his life away, which they could not. They could not take his life away from our body, as it was in him, our humanity in him. He came to save the holiness of our bodies, not just our spirits and our souls. And so our spiritual life as human beings, as Christians, is as much physical as it is spiritual. If it had not been necessary to reunite body and soul, Christ would not have had to die on the cross and reunite our bodies to himself. So it is the holiness of the body that is important. God became physical, a human being we can see and touch, and so people who say that we ought not to have icons are denying the reality of the resurrection. And people who might want to say, and with our secular way of understanding death, with our fear of death, and wanting to keep death at a distance, we might even question ourselves, why do we have relics? Why do you venerate the relics of the saints? We had a visitor not long ago whose mother, well, they were both Orthodox, but it was just after we had our relics in the kiosk of St. Herman of Alaska. And the young man, young teenager, asked his mother, why do they have these? What is this that I'm looking at? And she explained to her son, this is a very small part of the bone of one of the saints. St. Herman, St. Innocent, St. Seraphim of Sarov. And he said, that's weird. That's weird. It is weird to do that. What has death got to do with me? I'm 15 years old. I know I'm going to live forever. I can't even imagine death, you know. And we as Americans, we try to keep death at that distance from ourselves. We don't want to think about it. And when we have a funeral, unless we're Orthodox, we go back to the old pagan idea that the real person is not have anything to do with this body, because that body is obviously gone. That body is going to return into the dust. And we don't want to look at that body and think, that's going to be me. And so we look at that body and we say, this is not the real person. We say, the real person is the spirit. The real person is the soul. And I know that the soul is eternal. I don't even identify with my own body that much. I think of myself as the way I am in my mind, the way I am in my feelings, the way I am in my passions. The body is secondary. But that's not the Christian faith. And the more odd it seems to us that we would venerate the bodies of the saints as holy, the more secular we can see that we've revealed to ourselves that we really are. Because the holiness of the body is foreign to us. The oneness of body and soul that God came into the world in order to save is foreign to us. Because we live in our mind. We live in our passions. We live in our feelings. The things that we care about are non-physical. They are purely spiritual. And we want to have a religious faith that is purely spiritual and doesn't have anything to do with the body. For such a person, even a person who believes all of the doctrines and teachings of the Orthodox Church, confronted by relics of the saints, there is a difficulty. Because our faith is in the resurrection of the body. Our faith is that God created us body and soul, not simply a soul in a body. And our faith is in the holiness of the body. So we have relics, first of all, because we love the saints. We want to be in their presence. We want to receive blessings from them. We don't want to think of ourselves as having lost them entirely. There is a custom among, at least there used to be, I don't know if they do this anymore, but I know it was done in my case. When I was born, my mother had a baby book, and she kept a lock of my hair in her baby book. It was my baby book, and my parents passed away. It ended up with me, so I have a lock of my hair when I was a baby. If it were determined in the future, and I certainly don't expect this, but if it were determined in the future that Father Jacob called, hey, he was a saint, then that lock of hair that my mother cut, it would be a relic. That's all a relic is. Of course, it doesn't explain everything. It's not just because of our affection for a baby, as in my mother's case, or even in the case of my father. When my father died before my mother, and I stood with my mother there next to his coffin, and there were two people who kissed my father's forehead at that funeral. I was one of them, but I was an Orthodox priest. I mean, it would be strange if I didn't do that. We have the last kiss during an Orthodox funeral, where we give the person one last kiss before the coffin is closed and the body is buried. But the other person who kissed my father's forehead was my mother. And she simply did it out of love. She overcame her fear of death and didn't think of it, because this was still the body of the man that she had been married to and born children from for all those years. And so it was second nature to her to overcome the fear of death and the foreignness of the physical body without the soul, and simply gave him a kiss. Now that's affection. There's more than affection involved in our veneration of the relics of the saints. There is all of the rest of the things that I have mentioned. But still, there is also that affection and love for those that we know are one with God through Christ. Those we know who died to themselves and revealed God while they were in the world, and still reveal God even now, that they have fallen asleep in the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.